Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Karen Armstrong's A History of God. Sophie, I have to ask, did you know that for most of human history, nobody actually believed in God?
I'm Sophie, and yes, that's the wildest part of this book. Armstrong starts with the provocative idea that the concept of a single supreme deity is pretty recent. For tens of thousands of years, our ancestors felt the sacred as a presence woven into nature, not as a person to worship.
Right? And she points to the cave paintings at Lascaux. They're full of animals and hunting scenes, but there's not a single image of a god or goddess. The divine was just everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
Exactly. It wasn't up in the heavens. It was in the rocks and the trees and the cycles of the seasons. And then with agriculture and the first cities in Mesopotamia and Egypt, people started giving these forces names and personalities.
And those gods were a handful. The Mesopotamian gods were capricious and unpredictable. They needed constant appeasement through sacrifices. Meanwhile, the Egyptians had a more orderly pantheon, reflecting the Nile's rhythm and the sun cycle.
But here's the key thing, it wasn't about belief in the modern sense. It was about living in harmony with the gods. Religion was a transaction. You perform the rituals, you offer the sacrifices, and the gods send rain and protect your crops.
So when did that change? When did we start thinking about one God who cares about justice and how we treat each other?
That's the Axial Age, around 800 to 200 BC. You got Confucius and Lao Tzu in China, the Upanishads and Buddha in India, Socrates and Plato in Greece, and the Hebrew prophets in the Middle East. They all had this shared conviction that the divine was bigger than the old myths.
The prophets really shook things up. They said God isn't just a tribal deity, but the creator of the whole universe. And what God wants isn't sacrifices, it's for people to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly.
And that's where the complexity of the biblical God comes in. He's loving and vengeful, intimate and remote. Armstrong doesn't smooth over the contradictions. She shows how they reflect the Israelites' evolving understanding through exile and suffering.
The Babylonian exile was huge. The temple's destroyed, they're deported. And instead of seeing it as their God losing to Babylon's gods, they reinterpret it as punishment for their own failures. That's a turning point because it means God isn't tied to a place. He could be worshipped anywhere.
And that's when strict monotheism starts to take shape. Before, they were henotheists, acknowledging other gods but only worshipping their own. After the exile, the prophets say those other gods are just idols, nothing but human creations. There's only one God.
Then Jesus comes along. He's a Jewish preacher in a time of Roman occupation. People expect a Messiah who'll lead an army, but he talks about the kingdom of God and hangs out with outcasts and sinners.
And his crucifixion seems like the end, but then his followers become convinced he's risen. Whether that's literal or a profound spiritual experience, it transforms him into the Son of God, which leads to the doctrine of the Trinity.
And those early church councils, Nicaea and Chalcedon, they weren't just theological debates. Armstrong shows they were political power struggles too, with emperors and bishops maneuvering.
Then Islam comes along in the 7th century. Muhammad sees himself as restoring the original monotheism of Abraham. The core is Tawhid, the absolute oneness of God. No Trinity, no Son of God. God is utterly beyond anything we can compare him to.
What I love is that Armstrong doesn't stay in the realm of doctrine. She dives into the mystics. Kabbalah, Sufis like Rumi, Christian mystics like Meister Eckhart. They all seek a direct experience of God that goes beyond words.
And they knew that rational concepts fall short. Thomas Aquinas, Maimonides, Avicenna tried to marry faith with reason in the Middle Ages. But the Protestant Reformation and then the Scientific Revolution and the Enlightenment, they all chipped away at traditional belief.
By the time you get to Darwin, Freud, Nietzsche, it's like God's under attack from every side. And Armstrong's response is brilliant. She says maybe the problem is that we've been thinking about God too literally.
Exactly. She argues that the modern Western idea of God as a being, a person, a supreme entity out there, is actually a recent development. The mystics knew that God is the ground of being, the mystery beyond all names. We've forgotten that religious language is symbolic.
So the history of God isn't a straight line of progress. It's a story of constant change, each generation remaking God in its own image.
And that's the takeaway for me. The experience of transcendence is universal, but our interpretations are shaped by culture and history. The real God, if there is one, is always beyond our concepts.
For me, the big takeaway is that we're not stuck with any one image of God. The mystics got that. They didn't try to define God. They just opened themselves to the mystery.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper into this idea, the whole library's over on 7minutebooks.com/app. You've got over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. And it starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. This book reminds us that God has always been a journey, not a destination. We'll see you in the next one.